T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're gonna play on and stand strong with Drodo and Dibs. Turn the game on, pump up the volume. It's time to play ball with Drodo and Dibs. Turn the game on.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the championship rounds of Joe Low and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. It is great to have you with us today. Chris Mortensen from ESPN will join us at 9:30, but first, we go to the dial pad guest line. On the line is Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Michael Lombardi. As always, insider calls are brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Mr. Lombardi, it's always a pleasure. How's your summer treating you?
It's going good, Tipper. We're doing good. We're hanging in there. You know how it is. I'm excited to get the preseason over with and get on with it, so we're good.
What do you think about these 80-yard fields? Should we see more of them in the NFL this season?
Look, I'm such an idiot. I said the best thing the Raiders did is get away from their field in Alameda. I didn't think they could double down and get a worse field, you know. So I thought getting away from that dirt in Oakland would have been a smart move, but unfortunately I didn't realize that they couldn't figure the end zones out.
No, it's just absolute gold. You can't create these kind of storylines. They just fall in your lap. You mentioned preseason getting over with, and that's the prevailing notion around most camps, but for the 49ers, does this third preseason game carry more weight because of where Jimmy Garoppolo is in his rehab?
Well, look, I think Jimmy's got to play better. There's no doubt. I think the speed of the game caught him completely off guard last week, and I think he's going to have to get up to the speed of the game. I mean, that's one of the challenges of playing in the preseason is to get the speed of the game. And when you're coming back off an injury, you know, it's more problematic than ever. So, you know, look, he's got to play better. There's no doubt. And I think, obviously, it's always more than just one player has to play better. But I think clearly Jimmy's got to take his game up a notch.
Michael, I couldn't agree with you more, and I know that we know that this guy has shown that he can play, shown flashes, 10 games. When he came to this organization, won 5 straight. Last year was a little shaky. What kind of pass can you give this young man when you look at the history? Joe laid out some unbelievable stats, talking about Tom Brady after he came off his knee injury, only threw 28 touchdowns, numbers were down. Carson Palmer, numbers were down. Is this a situation, does he have that pass where you can, could you start a Mullins and for a week or two and go back to Jimmy G and the fans would still accept that? Or do you ride with this guy, whether win, lose, or draw, if he's not ready still mentally and physically compared to all the numbers you've seen? History has a way of repeating itself with those two great quarterbacks I alluded to.
Well, the only way you're going to get him ready is to get to the speed of the game. The one thing we've known is the speed of practice is not going to duplicate the speed of the game. So you're going to have to try and get him acclimated to the speed of the game. The only way you do that is play. I think you're going to have to live in Barrett. I mean, look, they've played Nick Mullins. You know, they play C.J. Beathard. What they win? How many games? They've won 25 games the last 5 years. Of those 25 wins, Jimmy's got 5 of them. So I think, you know, if you listen to the fans, you're going to be sitting with them, as somebody once said. So I think you got to do what's best for your program. And what's best for your program is getting Jimmy to play at a level where he's used to the speed of the game. And I think that's the only way that comes with this playing. And, look, I expect him to make some improvement this week. I think you just got to do it. The one thing I know about Jimmy Garoppolo is he's resilient, and yesterday doesn't bother him. And so he gets over it. I mean, because he's been in a room with Tom Brady. He understands it. He's going to move over. And I think that certainly will help him. He's got to have a short memory, and he does.
First two games of the season, the Niners will be in Tampa Bay to take on the Bucs and then in Cincinnati to take on the Bengals. What are your assessments of those two teams?
Well, you know, the Bucs look decent in week one. Last week they did not look very good against Miami. Their offensive line really broke down. I think Jameis Winston is going to be interesting to see what kind of season he has. You know, with everybody thinks because Bruce Arians is there and Brian Leftwich is going to turn around, I think he's got to do a better job protecting the football. I think Todd Bowles will do a really good job defensively. I think that'll be a challenge defensively. Todd knows how to attack protections. I think he'll understand what he needs to do. Are they great talent-wise in Tampa? No, not at all. I think Tampa's talent's remarkable that their GM just got a five-year contract extension based on where they are talent-wise, but that's life in the NFL. You know, so I think that'll certainly be, you know, where he needs to improve. And then the Bengals, you know, the Bengals are a really talented team. I think their offensive line with Gordy Glenn not being able to play at left tackle, they lose their first-round pick because of a shoulder. I think that's problematic. They got to get better on defense. They've got to, their corners, you know, their corners have to play to a higher level than they did last season. And I think it ultimately comes down to Carlos Dunlap and Geno Atkins and their ability to rush. I mean, Eddie Jackson can play corner. There's no doubt they have corners. They've got skill all over the field. They just haven't played well. I think Andy Dalton typically doesn't always play to the highest level, especially that's why I call him 20 for 20. He's good from 120 to the next. It's when he gets in the red zone, he falls apart.
The old 20 for 20 QB. This 49er team has started out 1-7 in the first quadrant the past two seasons, just one win in the opening four games. What can Kyle Shanahan and company do to reverse that trend and start the season off a little bit better?
Well, I think it starts with practice in the preseason. I think you got to get your team ready. I think the one thing that shows you is you're not ready to play. I mean, you're not ready for September. And look, in fairness to both John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, the reality of it is they're changing that roster so much that September is really like an extension of preseason. And I think now that you're in year three, I think it's time to really settle down, and you should have a structure and a foundation to where you're not exchanging and changing players. And I think injuries have played a part in that. And I also think that the reality of it is they've got to do a better job of playing to the tempo and playing at a higher level early in the season.
Michael, you work with Bill Belichick, and you also work with Bill Walsh, and they had it on an interview that came out on ESPN. They rated the coaches. Those two were on there. In your opinion, you've been around a lot of great coaches. Who would you say was the best coach of all time?
Well, I mean, it's so hard for me. I mean, you know, I learned so much from Coach Walsh. I would not be anywhere in my life today if it wasn't for Coach Walsh, because I drove him. I got to learn from him. I still listen to his voice every single day. And the greatest day of my life was 1991 when Bill Belichick walked in the building and handed me a piece of paper and described how we were going to build the Cleveland Browns into a winning franchise. And so the two of them, I think Walsh had an advantage in terms of there was no salary cap. I think what Belichick has done in the age of no cap has been damn near remarkable.
Michael Lombardi, Radio.com Sports NFL Insider, author of the book Gridiron Genius. I highly recommend it. He's joining Joe Lowe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. You've been following the player I'm about to mention for a while because one of your sons used to work at Louisville. I'm trying to get a bead on how I should focus on the Ravens this season. Lamar Jackson in year two, what should we expect?
You know, Tipper, I've always, you know, I was a little squeamish on them so far, and then I watched this team in the preseason. The one thing the Ravens will be, they'll be ready for the opener. I mean, John Harbaugh coaches hard in the summer. I mean, he coaches hard, and he's got his team going. So, you know, can this offense survive? I think in September it's going to be probably in favor of the Ravens because he's going to catch some people off guard. How they adjust to the season, I think defensively they're not the same team that they once were, but I think Lamar Jackson's made improvements with his passing game. I think he's made improvements in terms of what they want to do offensively. I don't think there's any mistake. They're no longer trying to be a West Coast offense. They're no longer trying to be a Lamar Jackson offense, which I think will certainly help them. I think they'll be better than 8 wins. I do. I thought initially they wouldn't, but I do think they'll win more than 8 games.
When you look at that division, a lot of talk about Cleveland and Baker Mayfield doing a lot of talking himself. How much can they be a surprise team after last year's really shocking turnaround?
Look, they nobody talks more than they do. I mean, they're on national TV 5 in the first 8 weeks. I mean, that, you know, there's a reason they're talking. And I've never heard of a team that had expectations on them that delivered those expectations. I mean, you know, when I was in Cleveland, you know, we went 11-5. The next year we had huge expectations and we all got fired. So, you know, what happens if you don't lead expectations? I belong to a site called The Daily Coach, which is, you know, for inspirational quotes for coaches, and it helps. And so, you know, we send an email out every day. Coach Raveling, the former head basketball coach at USC, writes a lot of it. And one of the things he wrote was you can't lead expectations. You can't manage expectations. You got to lead them. And I think what the Browns are doing is they're just managing their expectations. They say whatever they want. I think it would behoove Baker Mayfield to talk more about what he's going to do for his team than worry about what Daniel Jones is going to do for them.
No question. Couldn't agree with you more. When you look across the Bay and a team, Oakland, the Raiders, what do you think, Carr and the head coach, Gruden, how do you look at this team? Even though they have to travel a lot this year, they're going to be on the road a lot, going to travel more than anybody in the NFL. Do you see Gruden turning that corner? If so, how good can they be?
You know, that's been an interesting question. I mean, I said on my podcast, the GM Shuffle, that, you know, John reminds me of a song that Bruce Springsteen once sang on Tunnel of Love called Two Faces, because the John that I see on HBO is not the John that I've known before. And I think the John talking about Antonio Brown on HBO is not the John probably talking about Antonio Brown in the building. And so two faces have I. I think it's going to be interesting to see how this team comes together. I think there's clearly they've improved their talent base. How good this offensive line is, I don't know. Last night they played Parker at left tackle. They played Sharp at right tackle. They don't play Colton Miller in the summer. You know, we haven't seen much of Trent Brown. How good will they be in the offensive line? And really, how good is David Carr going to be? I mean, David Carr talks about, hey, look, you know, I've played in big games before. Practice is nothing. I'm still trying to find a big game he played in. You know, I mean, I know he played Fresno, played USC in the Las Vegas Bowl. I just didn't think that was a big game. Specifically, he didn't play well. So, you know, I think there's a challenge. I'm waiting to see where they're going to be on defense. I'm not sure their pass rush. I mean, last night when you watched Josh Allen of Kentucky, who's now at Jacksonville, you watched him rush. You know, he looked more like the fourth pick in the draft than Colin Farrell did. And whether he works out for Farrell, we'll have to wait and see. But to me, they still need a pass rusher in Oakland, and I think that's going to be the Achilles heel of the team.
Talking with Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Michael Lombardi. Insider calls are brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Michael, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for jumping on the show. Have a great weekend. We'll do it again soon.
Thanks, guys.
All right. A bunch of things to get to there. Number one, I can't believe you brought up the Las Vegas Bowl. Lost a lot of money on that game. Liked Fresno in that game. Really did. I believe I was living in Vegas when that game took place, and every year, it's one of the first bowls to kick off the season, and I thought USC didn't want to be there. USC didn't care. Fresno had a good season, good quarterback. They'd get him, and then USC showed up.
My God, that was so embarrassing.
That was a bad one, right? I didn't. I'm not you like, should, no, making my
no,
joke.
You should,
I just
no,
remember
you
I really liked Fresno because they wanted to be there, and USC I thought would just lay down.
Absolutely, they crapped down their leg. They should. They
Whoa.
No, they was it was horrible. You're absolutely right, Joe. It was embarrassing. The dogs didn't even show up. They let friggin' SC just motor them, push them around. Carr didn't look good. It was horrible. It was absolutely horrible. Horrible experience for me. Horrible performance. First week, next week, get back game. Play SC, first game of the season. Fresno, going to show them how to get it done. Right.
See, here's one of the things I love about you, and there's a lot. There's a lot. The fact that you played for a lot of NFL teams, you got good friends in the NFL, you have these fond memories of where you played, but like college to you, that's like in your blood. Like the NFL was a business.
Oh, yeah.
You have respect for the businesses.
Right.
You had your good times. You've got your brothers that you're out there playing with.
Sure, sure.
But like college is in the blood, right?
No
like
question.
The Saints, like that's not necessarily in the blood. It's because it's different.
Right. It's pros to college. It's not even close. You're a college man. It's a different aura. You're on the campus. You're part. It's embodied in you. You're talking junk. It's players. You do enjoy it. The pros, yes, you love it. But it's like you said, it's a business.
It's
you love the
yeah.
pros. You want to win a Super Bowl. All those things, without a doubt. But you hear everybody is hear them talk. They always bring it back their college days and high school days because that's when football was simple. That's when you love it. That's when it's just a totally different game.
Fresno State motorboated, by the way. They got blasted off the field.
Did you hear what
45
yeah, I already mentioned.
They
lost a lot of money on it.
I mean, I'm trying to bring
money.
It home.
Hey, what are you doing?
I'm recapping the game for those who may have missed it. It was 35-6 at the half, and it didn't get much closer after that. This USC team was replete with NFL stars to come.
Was that Matt Barkley?
Nelson Aguilar. No, it was Cody Kessler.
Kessler.
Fresno had no answer, Lo. No answer. For Cody Kessler. Marquise Lee from 10 yards out early on. It was USC 7. Fresno nothing.
Are we going to get into something?
I'm just, you know, let him run out of breath.
The pride of Modesto Christian, Isaiah Burse, the kid who I covered in high school, answered for the Dogs, but that was about it. Next thing you know, the engine was on, the boat was lowered in the water, and the motor boating began. Coach?
Okay, enough of the Las Vegas
Aguilar.
Bowl.
For, more
that,
2014, Aguilar.
2013 Las Vegas Bowl?
Devontae Adams, garbage time TD in second half. Another NFL player.
All right, we got it.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm with Lowe on this one. I generally like making fun of Fresno, all things Fresno related, but I lost quite a bit of
money.
You don't
want to talk about the Derek Carr pick six in the fourth?
What's he still doing in the game?
Trying to pad the numbers, coach.
Lombardi gave out a winner, by the way. Did anyone notice the winner he gave out on the broadcast or on the interview? Broadcast. I think technically, I guess it's right. A little general. Ravens week one. And he's not the only one who said that. That line's already climbed. They're at Miami. They're going to be laying about five. That's a lot of points to lay on the road in the NFL. They're probably going to be wise guys out there. Some guys trying to tell you take the points at home. I would advise, personally, I lean a little bit towards Jacksonville, which is going to host Kansas City. Jacksonville's catching like 3.5, 4. I like that home dog. Baltimore, the way they prepare in the preseason, he talked about how John coaches that team hard in the summer to get them ready and that they come out of the gates fast, the opposite of the Niners the last couple years. They don't be surprised if they go down to Miami and stomp their teeth in. He's not the only one saying that. To hear him say that, that's a great nugget, but there are other people play the Ravens early in the season.
And I think that point you made about the Niners is even more galling to me because 1-7 in the past 2 years in the opening quadrant, the opening four games, and you see them in this preseason so far not looking like they're revved up and ready to go for the opener, which, by the way, is now 16 days away from today. So
yes.
How big does this game become, Lowe, this third preseason game? Not necessarily that they have to win the game, but how important is it for Shanahan to show that this team is actually revving up and getting ready for real football in 16 days?
It's very important. This is a very important preseason game. And I'll say that's preseason. Yeah, we know it's preseason. But you want to see your franchise. You want to see the guy that you believe is a franchise quarterback. You want to see him play better. Not just tell him, I want to see the defense play better. I want to see what these guys are going to do. You're still going to have some starters. Nicky Bolson and some of your guys aren't going to play. Quan Alexander, D. Ford probably won't play. So you still got some guys that are not going to be playing. But you're going to have a guy now that's in that quarterback position for at least the first quarter, maybe even the first half, that can extend plays. Can extend plays with his leg, and you know who I'm talking about, Patty Mahomes. Here's a guy that we understand, MVP of the league, what he can do with his legs inside the pocket, outside the pocket, and his diversity to be able to move the pocket and make guys miss. He has an unbelievable and unmutable ability about him.
Definitely unmutable.
Yeah, that we haven't seen in a long time. So I think that is going to be very, very interesting to see if this young defense can contain him. Can they keep him in that box? Can they keep him in the pocket and don't let him get outside? Ticks in place with his legs.
Very good.
Yeah.
It's good uptake.
That's great. I really enjoyed all that. So much smarter now.
It's unmutable.
So much smarter. So much. I'm armed to take on the day if I run into a Patrick Mahomes conversation as I try to get from here to home. I want to shout out the Chilton Auto Body text line 95795 from the 510. De La Salle plays St. Thomas Aquinas tonight at DLS tonight. A shout out from you guys would be amazing. Well, ask and ye shall receive. De La Salle versus St. Thomas Aquinas tonight. High school football is back. High-level high school football.
And I wonder if you might see Nicky Bosa out there because he is a St. Thomas Aquinas alum, and I don't imagine he'd be making the trip to Kansas City as an injured player.
He was in Denver up in the booth. Remember when they were talking about...
Well, then never mind.
Well, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just trying to go through the thoughts. If he was in Denver, you think he might travel, but the Raiders left a bunch of guys behind for the Winnipeg game, so they might.
Yeah, you never know, and if he is in town, that would probably be a great place for him to go and catch some high-quality, high-level high school football.
Who's the Moo high school got this weekend? Who's the Moo taking on?
Don't know.
I don't know if the Moo would play.
This is
week zero, I think, or this might actually be even week minus one, negative one, because not all teams are even in school yet.
Why do we do this week zero? That's what everyone's saying about college. It's week zero this weekend. What? Then that means there's no games. Week zero was last weekend and the weekend before. Those were all week zeros. This is week one. There's games. Then there will be week two. How is this week zero? Zero implies nothing. That's what zero implies. It implies nothing. And it implies it explicitly. The implication is explicit. Week zero, no games. So how is this week zero? Because I'm looking at a game right now, Florida -7, which, by the way, everyone's betting this under. Everybody. It opened at like 51. It's down to 46. It keeps ticking down. Everyone's betting this under.
What you like it too a little bit? Or you
well,
just
when
like
you see
game,
it move that much, okay. You got to think to yourself, okay. This is not just public money all of a sudden deciding the Miami-Florida under is where we want to put our money. I think there's some truth to it. Both have good defenses. Florida's bringing eight guys back, and they're going against a redshirt sophomore quarterback, this kid Jaren Williams. But like now I'm starting to get confused because people are saying, look, if he was picked over these other guys and no one saw it coming, there's a reason. This kid's probably pretty good.
Yeah.
So now I'm worried about laying the 7 with the Gators. But that's been my pick, and I'm going to stay with that pick. I am going to lay the 7 with the Gators. I might not go as heavy on it, but I'm laying 7
with Florida. I'm going to get in with you. And then when the opening week starts, I know we'll do our, you know, dibs and low. But
ooh, we need to come up with a bet for low versus dibs.
We do. And at 7 games that you think that the Niners will win, we're going to do that too. So I'm not backing off on Jimmy G that much. So let you know I'm still
You had him winning 11, so.
I did not. Why don't you stop?
Why don't you stop when you say I had him winning 7?
What did you have him winning?
He said
unconfirmed until we actually lock it in, so it doesn't matter what I said. You said they win between 5 and 11.
I did not.
What are we doing
eight,
for low versus dips?
Okay.
We'll argue
Thank
that
you.
Down the road.
You
what are we doing
do
for
that.
Low versus
you
dips
should
this
not
year?
Do that. We'll figure. I'm ready to get it on because, and it's going to be something serious because the
are you
way
take it serious this year or is yeah, it going to be a clown show like it's been the last three seasons?
No.
It's been just a motorboating coach. It's not even really a contest.
Every Friday trying to do this segment.
I'm looking for number 3 straight.
We're going to do Survivor.
One for the thumb if you were missing 2 fingers.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll get there. Hopefully the show's together long enough to where I will get one for the thumb.
Let's do Survivor 2. Just one. You can't pick the team again. Just everyone pick one team a week. And
you look at me like I don't know what Survivor is. Hey, Joe, you pick the team
he
once.
He says I can't look at
Thank
him.
Thank you.
You and I, sometimes we look at each other. What the hell? I can't look at
I'm
you
a
anymore?
I'm a degenerate.
My
also,
goodness.
I am a notoriously awful Survivor player. I am awful at Survivor. I will definitely play. I'll play high-stakes Survivor
because
I love the action.
This fun for
I you. Suck at Survivor.
Me too. For some reason.
Awesome
I...
at Monopoly. Top 5 in the world. Oh, we all know that. God. Terrible at Survivor. Terrible. There was maybe in the last decade, maybe one year where I made it into like the second month, maybe one year. I remember one year where I was like, hey, look at me.
Right, it's October.
You probably overthink it is your problem, huh? You have a good pick, a solid pick, and then you get some intel late, a line move, and you overthink
it's
and
no
you shift.
Survivor, it's no points or nothing.
I have no
it's
idea.
Just
I'm just terrible.
We're not going to go spread or anything. It's just pick a team.
I'm just terrible. Yeah, maybe you could say that. I don't know. I got no excuse.
It's not like you don't research it. I mean, I'm sure you put in all the time necessary, but then when push comes to shove and you got to make the one single pick, I could see you trying to double think it and overthink it and get yourself into a bit of a puzzle.
Not going to tell you you're wrong.
Yeah.
You're not going to hear that coming out of my mouth right now.
By the way, it is week one of the high school football slate. Just looking up and down the schedule.
I thought it was week zero.
Well, there's a lot of action. If there's a light schedule, then it's week zero.
No, it's not.
It's industry standard, Joe. You wouldn't understand.
Week zero is when there's no games.
Right, Dims. Zero means no games.
Much like the chance Fresno State had in the 2013 Las Vegas Bowl. Zero.
We play next week. Okay.
As we
SC.
Bring it all
what
the
do you
way
got
back
next
home.
Week?
SC.
Is that the opener?
Yeah.
You're opening with SC?
What's wrong with that?
I didn't realize that was such a big... Fresno always opens with big... Didn't you open with Alabama
when
2 years ago?
When I played SC, asked someone what happened. Yeah.
Willie McGinnis.
Leather helmets. We're not interested
Leather
in that.
Helmets.
And by the way, I don't even care what the number is. Give me the Trojans and I'll lay whatever I have to lay.
The number is moving in your favor. I think it was somewhere around, I want to say it was like 8 and it's moved to 11 or 12.
Yeah, we lost 2 running backs, by the way.
Knees. Ronnie Rivers okay?
Ronnie's going to play, but a couple other guys got hurt. So okay. Back up. So we
Ronnie
had
scored that touchdown that put me where I needed to be
exactly.
Last year in that big game against Boise State.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
shout out to the whole Rivers family. Always have maintained the Rivers family are my favorite of the Fresno running backs.
And they're senior and junior. And they're P1 listeners. Ronnie's listening now. Ronnie's a P1. He lives here.
My favorite of all Fresno running backs. Not even close. Let me make that clear, too.
Ronnie loves that.
I'm talking about senior and junior.
He'll give you a text. They love it.
Love to hear about the glory days when he was tearing up that backfield.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait, though, this year that Dibs can finally, you know, we can finally get a serious bet again.
Yeah, serious. We're going to do it serious this year, Dibs.
Can you just do me one favor? Just try to keep it close this year. It's just not that fun when I dominate you, a 16-year NFL veteran.
Yeah, that's why my feet feel a lot better and they miss you.
That was a different bet.
Yeah.
That was the main bet.
That was a mistake I made. I was trying to show off for Damon Bruce. I was trying to show out. I was on the higher seat.
Yeah.
I felt.
Yeah, you were standing.
I was standing. And
which
he was on the low stool, remember?
Which bet would you rather win? Thank you.
I would probably, yeah.
You had to put gloves on.
I'm already dealing with this pregnancy simulator thing.
I wasn't allowed to put gloves on.
All right. Chris Mortensen, ESPN, had some very, very interesting and somewhat alarming comments about Jimmy Garoppolo. He is going to join us next. It's Joe Lo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I haven't hit the button. I only did that once. I haven't hit the button. This awkward transition back into the show is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromise. You could probably hear Lowe and Dibs yelling at each other in the background. Professionalism not at its highest. Here's Anna with an over-under of 1.5 mistakes for this update.
All right, thanks, Joe. What's coming up on the game is brought to you by your Northern California Toyota dealers. 49ers face the Chiefs tomorrow in their third preseason game. An interesting start to football this week as the Raiders and Packers played on an 80-yard field due to poor field conditions, and Panthers' Cam Newton exited in a walking boot. Do these storylines change the Niners' approach to their third exhibition game? How much do we want to see Jimmy Garoppolo play in Kansas City? Joe Lo and Dibs will discuss. And even though it is the weekend, take Joe Lo and Dibs on the go. Download the radio.com app today. In baseball, Giants are six back in the wild card race after getting swept at Wrigley. And while the A's swept the Yankees, they're now tied with the Rays in the wild card race. Part two of the Bay Bridge series begins tomorrow in Oakland. We'll get you ready for the Battle of the Bay with Bet 162. Now through Labor Day, get the best deal of the year on Tacoma or 4Runner. $1,750 total cash back. Don't miss out on Toyota's national clearance event. Offer ends September 3rd, 2019. Toyota, let's go places. Chris Mortensen will join the show next. I'm Yana Kagadakis on the Bay Area's number one sports station. 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lo and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
I'm going to the Dial Pad guest line.
Please.
Because all guests appear on the Dial Pad guest line. It helps you make smarter calls. Connect your team with a business communication platform that powers voice, video, messages, and meetings across existing devices. Ladies and gentlemen, he's one of the absolute best in the business. ESPN NFL insider Chris Mortensen with Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Mort, thank you so much for your time this morning. How's your summer treating you?
It's every day I wake up, it's treating me very well. So every day I'm alive, it's a great day. I just do need to give a special hello to my friend Lo Neal.
More, what's up, baby? We should get crazy. Maybe we should get crazy, crazy.
Yeah, I know.
You're the best. Hey, Mort, you're the best. I appreciate you for joining the show. We love you. You know that.
Mort, we do. We do indeed. Thank you so much. Let's start with this. We heard you on the Ryan Russillo podcast recently, and you had some great breakdowns and some thoughts on Jimmy Garoppolo and the San Francisco 49ers. First and foremost, do you believe Garoppolo will be ready to go come week one against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
I do believe he will be the starter week one against the Buccaneers. That's different than do I believe he will be ready to go.
Okay, so let's go through that.
Go means to me, is he going to be ready to play winning football? I mean, then it's up, you know, but I have no doubt, unless he has a setback injury-wise, that he will be the starter week one. Now, will he be ready to win or play at the level that that when you acquired him you expected? No, I don't think he'll be that. I mean, listen, this guy tore his ACL in week three. Last year, and you talk to somebody like Dr. James Andrews, who I consider a friend, and handles a lot of these surgeries. He thinks that the expectations off ACL, because you've seen so many guys come back after 8 or 9 months or whatever, he still thinks it's a minimum 12-month recovery before you're there, and then after that, a little bit more time. So you're dealing not just with the physical, but the psychological. And the bottom line is, I do think Jimmy G will be playing week one. Do I think he'll be able to play at a level that they expected when they gave him all the money? I have my doubts about that. But that means everybody else around him, including the defense, which should be pretty good if they get healthy, has to play at a winning level.
I was looking at Deshaun Watson's return from the ACL, and he didn't play great his first three games. They started out 0-3, but then he seemed to have it click in. Do you think the Niners could potentially have a slow start, but then rally if Jimmy G was able to get back to the level they expect him to be at?
Yeah, and I don't know, the opponents and what were the circumstances of with Deshaun were, but yeah, I mean, I think it's very possible. I mean, listen, I think what Kyle said publicly is he's telling the truth. Jimmy Garoppolo needs to play, and he needs to play games. I mean, listen, we've all know the practices have been rough. I thought it was kind of interesting that Scott Zolak, who was the Patriots, a former NFL quarterback, and who was the Patriots broadcast color analyst, both in preseason TV and in regular season radio. I find it interesting that Zolak kind of mentioned this week that, he was talking about, how good Jarrett Stidham is doing as the backup to Tom Brady or potential backup. But he mentioned that Jacoby Brissett was really struggled in practice when he was there, and Jimmy G, was a terrible practice player, but was sort of a gamer. So I think, that might be true. Let's face it, the year that they got Jimmy G in the middle of that season, we kind of expected them to show him out there right away, but it took a while before they got felt like it was time. And to be honest with you, surprised me at how well Jimmy G lit it up. He was a gamer when he was out there, and then he had that ACL injury. So do I think they're willing to stick through it? I think Kyle Shanahan and the rest of the organization, they're competitive. And I think they certainly are going to want to see something by week three, that there's incremental improvements in Jimmy G's play, because let's face it, guys, all the guaranteed money they gave him was in the first 2 years. All of it, basically, right, was in the first 2 years. And this will be the second year of that contract.
You're absolutely right, Mort. And when you look at Jimmy G, does he need to be great? Do you think that this team has enough talent? Defensively, they went out and got two pass rushers, not one, but two.
Right.
Nicky Bosa went out and got, you know, Ford. You see the way that he can come up in, double-digit sack guy. DeForest Buckner, double-digit sack guy in the interior. Went out and got Hurd. Got some receivers. Does he need to play great? If he goes out there and just play good, do you think they have enough talent in the defense, have the upgrade? Can they win if he just plays good?
Yes, I think they can win those games if he just plays good. Good. If you play good as an NFL starting quarterback, and you know, in this league, it's a little bit redundant there, but then, and you've got the other things, the defense. I mean, Tom Brady was not Tom Brady in the beginning of his starting career with the Patriots, because they had a defense and they had a running game, and then that allowed Tom to grow, and that's the same thing you would hope for Jimmy Garoppolo. But now I'll say this, you know, Kyle Shanahan, I do think he's one of the top, if not the best offensive mind, one of the top two or three offensive minds. And listen, those guys have pride. They want to be great on offense, and you know, that's why they signed McKinnon, unfortunately, and he ends up with an ACL injury. And it's, you know, why they went and got Jimmy G. When I think a lot of people were thinking, man, they might want to wait for Kirk Cousins. And so I think that good would be a nice place for Jimmy G to be. And if he can get to good, he can grow from there, because the team really is got a chance to be special, I think. I mean, you know, obviously McKinnon, we're not sure what's going to happen there, but I thought they were very fortunate to get Tevin Coleman. I think Tevin Coleman was a very underrated acquisition by them this offseason.
ESPN NFL insider Chris Mortensen with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Every year at this time, articles, conversations break out about coaches who may enter the season on the hot seat, ones that, you know, could be feeling more pressure than others. Where do you see Kyle Shanahan in that spectrum? How much pressure is on him and the rest of the organization this year?
Haven't considered it. And, you know, this may sound weird and not quite truthful, but it is. For Adam Schefter and I, we don't talk about coaches on the hot seat. We just don't. I mean, I can tell you this much. There's one coach, Jason Garrett, who doesn't have a contract for next year with the Cowboys. But at the same time, I've seen other coaches go into their seasons as lame duck coaches. But I don't think that that Kyle is a guy that I see. He's not on my radar of a coach who's been in jeopardy. I mean, I really don't, because you cannot ignore the circumstances that the starting quarterback that you invested in tore his ACL in week three. Find it ironic, as everybody else does, that Saturday he's going to get his most extensive playing time against the Kansas City Chiefs in the place where he tore that ACL.
Great stuff. Great stuff. ESPN NFL insider Chris Mortensen, kind enough to join Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Mort, we know you're very busy. Thank you for coming on, and please have a great weekend.
And I just want to ask Lonell, before we go, Kyle Juszczyk or Devlin from the Patriots?
Give me Cal. Give me Juszczyk. Both those guys can play, though. Like them both.
Okay, there you go. Fullbacks. Nobody talks about fullbacks anymore.
You're the best, Mort. Love you.
See you later, man.
Thanks, Mort.
Love that guy.
There's a reason, Mort. There's a reason.
I wish I knew how to block you.
I got something for you. I need the whistle for a flag.
Okay. Who's it going on?
You. It's on you.
Oh, you. Boy. Thank you.
We
That's
said,
what you get.
You missed this when Anna did the update right before I did what I did to Nice Guy yesterday. Like, I just out of nowhere, I said over under 1.5 mistakes for the update to put the pressure on.
Yes.
So she's feeling the pressure. So she locks in and she's trying to do the best possible job. Dibs is walking over there, making faces, trying to distract her. That's completely unprofessional. Just let her
you
try to
forgot,
get the update.
Throw the flag at her. You thought inappropriate eye contact. Everything that Champ Kind did in Anchorman, like, I was trying to do.
Out of his way to just derail the whole thing. You've been in the business longer than anyone. You're supposed to set the example.
It's nice of you to say that, Joe, but there's a couple things that you're absolutely categorically wrong on. First of all, as a former update anchor, I know that what doesn't kill you only makes you stronger. Secondarily,
do you agree?
I actually am very disappointed in myself. For the mistake that I made.
We all got paid on it, so, you know, the books owe us.
I actually had the over, so unfortunately I came up on the wrong end of that, dearly beloved.
What are you talking about? The over hit?
Only one mistake. It was...
No, there's a botch job at the end.
There was one small thing.
Right down the stretch. Yeah, the home stretch. She hit the last hurdle.
I was very upset about it.
Lolo Jones? She went Lolo Jones, clipped the last hurdle?
Something like that. I don't know. There were two.
It was
a strong update. I like the update. It was a strong update. It's just she got caught at the end there. Yeah, so you did win. You got paid.
Awesome. In that case, apology not issued. It's rescinded.
You don't find that humorous? I just made a joke at your expense. Now I went after him. You're just out.
I'm just ashamed. You know, it's like,
ashamed that he would do that to distract
exactly.
Him.
So I'm just...
Because you're also a media professional.
Yeah, so I...
Because you've never been a distracting force at any time, whether it's eating, slurping, drinking...
Can he speak?
Crinkling the water bottle, being shirtless. He can as soon as I'm done citing all the things that are constantly a distraction about him.
That's how he operates.
Right.
And so that's okay.
Thank you. And I do it in a good place. You came over here and getting her face, twisting and turning, snapping and doing that. I don't do that again, all kinds of stuff. Yeah.
You weren't even here for it, so you don't even know, Coach.
Still, it's wrong. I have my quirks. I get it. I have, I can be who I am. And yeah, every now and then I'll take a sip of water and you might hear, but
every now and again I'll come in and start the show shirtless.
Yes. I'll come in shirtless with a towel over, covering it up.
And that's not distracting at all.
But then it seems since everyone's still able to communicate. We're still having a good, no one really knows. We're still having a great time. You, Mr. Daniel, get up, walk in front of her, get in her face. You're doing all this stuff, and she's getting ready to do this read, and you're doing stuff that you shouldn't be doing. That's just not right.
Coach, I brought her into this business.
So that gives you the right to
do
that?
And I'll take her out. That's the way that goes. You give and you take. And you give and you take. It's a give and take in here.
Oh, my God. All right.
And guess what?
There were so many notes I had for little things I wanted to hit on before the end of the show.
But this is what he does. Yes.
What are you thinking about the move versus Clovis East? Big game tonight. I didn't realize they were playing tonight, so we might as well break it down.
First, you got to tell me what is the move?
I would like to shout out the high school matchups. If your high school teams are in action, let us know. We are big fans of high school football around here. No jokes. Hit us up. Maybe Joe Lowe and Dips come out to a game. Maybe we come out, we take some pictures, we sign a couple autographs, things of that nature. I can't do it for everyone. Billions of people. You know, time is precious.
It's actually a great idea, a little Friday night lights. Like tonight you mentioned St. Thomas Aquinas at De La Salle. It's a couple of top 25 teams in the country. But we won't only go to the big national games. We'll go to any game. Members of the Billions invite us out. We just might show up.
Yeah. Yeah. Throw us a tailgate, food, drinks, cocktails, first class seating, sideline passes. You know, the whole thing.
Good rivalry game.
We're blue collar guys. You know, blue collar atmosphere. Good rivalry game, what?
A good rivalry game. Yeah, would be a good one to go to, obviously.
Question.
It's got to be a crosstown rival.
And
like
also,
that.
I don't need the top 25 matchups. Those schools, they get their TV exposure, their recruiting, all that. That's great. I love watching it. Don't get me wrong. When I was in Vegas, loved Bishop Gorman, everything that was going on there. But I'm good. I'm good for just a good old-fashioned regular high school game. Like, we put so much pressure on these kids now.
Right.
We're recruiting, and we rank them, and it's like, it's nuts. They're flying across the country. Good for them, but just good old-fashioned high school football is fine by my book. I like hearing the snare drum as I walk up to the stadium.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Smell the hot dogs.
No question,
starts
Joe.
To get a little chill in the air.
Oh, yeah. Saturday's going to be a good high school game. It's going to be on ESPN. And
see, this is exactly the game I was not talking about.
No, I know, but I'm just because I have selfish reasons because my nephew's playing.
Sure, okay, that's fine.
And you know Charlie Jones, the receiver, played with the Chargers.
Not personally, but of him.
So we're cousins.
What high school is this?
Buchanan.
Oh, Buchanan. Okay.
Yeah, and
they're going to be on ESPN.
Yes.
Are they that good?
They're playing against a team from Southern California, coming to Fresno, and So we're
I didn't realize. So Fresno got some good teams down
there. Yeah, but they're playing against a team that pulls a win. So that's the team that's the draw, L.A. team. So they're coming to play against Buchanan. Buchanan, I want you to watch. You know, C.J. Jones, which is Jones, Charlie Jones. That's his name.
C.J. Jones.
Yep. That's
wide receiver.
He plays corner.
Corner.
And he goes a little both ways. Great player. And then Stephen Shelley, receiver. I want you to watch him. And then Kendall. Kendall was going to go to Alabama.
Like watch. Madonna, just one name. Cher.
But six. No, it's good. It's good. No, but here's the deal.
Fine. You can't know every high school player. It's awesome that you're already this dialed in.
Oh, no. But Kendall, the reason why I mentioned him, he's 6'2", running back, Alabama. Everyone wants Kendall. He's a big physical back. So
nice.
You're going to see this LA team putting 8-9 guys in the box. This Kendall is a hell of a running back. Everyone wants him. Alabama wants him. Notre Dame, you name it, they want him. So
Kendall Milton. Five-star recruit, 6'1", 225.
Kendall Milton.
Buchanan High School. C.J. Jones is a two-star. Matt Merritt, the outside linebacker, is a two-star as well. And they got a couple of guys they lost to graduation, but they're facing Narbonne. That will be a good game. And that's on ESPN, you're saying. Wow.
Yeah.
Sequoia High, Redwood City, the Mita versus, you know what, the Mita might be our team.
That's right with the Mita.
Yeah, now that I'm thinking about it, whatever, is there just Alameda High School?
Absolutely not our team. That's our bitter rival. I coach at Bishop O'Dowd, my volleyball
makes
rival.
Makes it even better. The Mita is my team. My kids are going to the Mita.
We went to Alameda High when Lo No showed me. We beat them in four sets, their first loss in 3 years.
This is volleyball, coach.
They came back to O'Dowd, and they took us. They took us out. They got us back. But the rivalry exists. Alameda is not
beautiful
quote,
school.
Our team.
Is it a beautiful school? Isn't that the school so beautiful?
It's an eyesore. You've never even been there.
We need an official high school program to get behind. We can rotate each week.
True friend.
But I'm going to say, starting for the first month of the season, this show is pro
Mita
High.
Absolutely.
Mita High.
We're going with
that's
the
our team. You're on it, Dibs.
They redid a school.
And are you in on that?
I'm in.
All right, so that's three out of four.
Turning your back on your San Ramon Valley Wolves.
That's the second one.
We'll get to them in a couple of weeks.
San Ramon, Monta Vista. Want to see that matchup?
Stay with the Mita.
This is politics.
Yes.
Vote for the Mita and we'll get San Ramon.
I know they'll get it in. Don't worry. San Ramon, Monta Vista, we eat horse meat. We got this.
Mita.
The Mita's got the next hole tonight, by the way. Clovis East, tough team.
Dibs' rival.
It's going to be tough. No, it's great. It's great. What's Alameda's nickname, Coach? You're such a big fan.
I'm just telling you. The Mita.
That's the Mita.
Oh, right. The high school's nickname is they're the Alameda Mitas.
Yeah.
Do you know how beautiful the school is?
They are now.
Makes perfect sense.
Got to go see the new school, what they've done. The facial they did on that is unbelievable. I go by there, walk by there during it every day. Beautiful.
The facial. So you're saying they did a skin treatment and eyeliner?
It's a facelift, Coach.
Exactly.
You knew what he was getting at.
No, you said a facial.
This is a nice Friday segment about local high school football
team.
Why are you so mad?
Is it nice?
Yeah, it's real nice. Everyone else having a nice time.
Who are they playing, Coach? Who are we rooting against?
Doesn't matter. It's like Alabama. Just lay the points. Just lay them. Especially in the first half. Lay the points.
Boom.
I don't care. Just line them up. Mita High is going to knock them down. Mita High is going to knock them down.
How were they last year?
I'd have to imagine undefeated.
Somewhere
in the state conversation.
I want to help them. I went out and watched practice. Little light, don't have a lot of guys, but they fight. They're a nice little engine, Joe.
That's the type of team I want to get behind. I like the underdog story.
Joe, they don't have a lot of guys to come out.
I'm not one who likes to make a lot of noise, stand up, me, point at me. I like to live in the shadows, shine the light on all the other people. That's how I like to roll.
They don't even have a stadium. They play somewhere. It's a real small little dirt track.
It's like Permian.
Yeah, and they're the tough. You love the little guys.
Yeah.
They're my school.
That's our team, Mita High.
Mita High.
All right, Dibs, you're with it.
Dibs, you're down with the Mita.
Castro Valley High versus
hosting,
Bishop O'Dowd. Shout
it
out. Dublin High versus Castro Valley. A lot of good stuff going on right here. What about Menlo Atherton High? What about it? Shout it out. I'll shout them all out on the Chilton
Great
Almighty
small
line.
School program mm-hmm. down there in Atherton.
James Logan, Guru's alma mater.
That's Guru's alma mater?
Mm-hmm.
Biggest high school in the Bay Area, population-wise, about 4,400.
Wow.
4,400 across four grades?
Slightly ahead of Berkeley, yeah.
And they don't win,
wow.
though.
No, they've had a very successful campaign over the years at James Logan. Currently, maybe not, but they've had some good teams now. Don't disparage the Colts of James Logan High and the Pride of Union City.
Jeez. I went to a high school, only three grades, believe it or not. I was in a junior high and then high school, so it was K through 6, 7, 8, 9, and then 10 through 12. That obviously changed, but I grew up thinking that was normal. And then everywhere else I went on earth, it was not. Literally. So when you say 4,400, my first thought is that across three or four? As if anyone else operates under this voodoo system that I grew up in.
Wow.
A little bit about me.
They used to have them here. Don't worry. You weren't alone. They had them here.
Yeah, junior highs? Because it's middle school is 6, 7, 8, right? And then junior high, 7, 8, 9. I guess that's what I've been told.
I think that's probably a better. I think I wish they had that. Keeps the kids a little bit, the age group. I like that a little bit better, actually.
9 shouldn't be running up against 12.
I'm totally with you.
That's a big jump right there. The 9-12 matchup is a big matchup.
I'd rather have the 9-12 than the 9-7, quite frankly.
Interesting.
You don't want the 9th graders corrupting the 7th graders.
Good call.
6, 7, and 8, and the 9 through 12, it's the best possible system.
Greater corruption 9 to 7 or 12 to 9? To you, it's 9 to 7.
It's without a doubt.
Interesting. Without a doubt.
12 to 9 is pay no mind. You don't get any of that 12 to 9. The seniors aren't down there. Hey, let's see if we can roll these freshmen.
They're not
freshmen
like that?
Freshmen are out of their mind. Out of sight, out of mind.
Okay.
And the freshmen around a 7th grader, freshmen are starting to get into some light adult situations. You don't want the 7th graders around that.
Now, if the freshmen, they don't know. So if you get the seniors corrupt them, you got to realize everyone wasn't like me as a freshman. Freshman is number 2 in the valley, still went to state.
In what?
Wrestling, I was that good.
Is this was the naked wrestling, or the
what are you?
Thank you, Roxy.
That was out of line.
I apologize.
Thank you. I was
trying to walk the straight and narrow here at the end.
Yeah, I'm just
all right. So regular clothed wrestling,
absolutely.
Okay, got it.
You were in middle school, you would have been destroying these other little 7th graders. You're probably 200 pounds as a freshman, right?
187. Yeah.
187, probably all shredded.
Seriously.
Too. Like a rock
you
solid.
You want that running around middle school?
He was not like a little loose, still some baby fat 187. Like he was like oh my God, look at this dude. He could probably stack another 40.
And you wrestled
on
varsity at that point.
Oh, yeah.
You were number 2 in the Valley?
Yes. Won the league. Number 2 in the Valley.
As a freshman?
Freshman.
How did you do in state? Should I look it up and find the guy who beat you? Or?
How many weight classes?
I know everybody who beat me. I didn't lose a lot, Dibs.
He doesn't need you to
We've interviewed all the guys who beat you.
Yeah, that was a thing you did.
Mark Trice, San Ramon Valley.
Everyone else was not okay with that. Picks for Clovis East versus the Moo. What do we got tonight?
Well, it's really a lopsided ball game. Clovis East is a real strong team, and Lee Moore is developing. So I think you got to take East.
You know what? I'm going to go with Clovis.
I'm taking the Moo. I like an underdog story. Big fan of the cows.
Joe.
They're called the
thing
Moo
about
cows,
it,
right?
We wouldn't be having this conversation if there was a nil in the school. I decided for better education reasons to take him to San Joaquin Memorial High School. Tyler, my nephew, is sophomore, only 15 still, and I should have kept him back here. 6'1", 190 pounds, already a beast. So he's at North. So if he was at Lemoore, we wouldn't be having this conversation. Kid's a dominant.
Where's he at now? Clovis North, you said?
No, now he's at San Joaquin Memorial.
Sorry, you did say that. Okay,
yes.
So you will not be making a pick. I got the Moo in an upset, though. Okay. The Moo Cows. Go Cows. Go Cows, go.
San Joaquin Memorial.
That's it. We are done. It's over.
Jalen McMillan, 5-star.
Bonte Guru Steiny, the combination of those three coming up next. They're guest free. They're going to rock and roll for 4 hours. For us, we're done. Good luck to all the high school programs out there tonight. Have fun. Be safe. Remember, you're still kids. Enjoy what you're doing. Enjoy what you're doing and be good fans out there. These are high school kids. You want to yell at someone, go yell at the Niners or the Raiders. We're out of here. Have a great weekend. Monday, 6 a.m., 95.7 The Game.
If Jimmy G is a Lambo and Mullins is the Deezer, take the Deezer.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.